response to the preaching of Christ crucified, which is the gospel, determines which way they're going. Their response to it is an indicator to what's happening in their spiritual life. If they respond to it positively, then they are in the process of being saved. You follow what I'm saying? If they respond negatively to it, you follow what I'm saying? Then they are in the process of perishing. Okay? To the Christ rejectors who are in the process of being destroyed, and we'll look at that in Ephesians, the second chapter, the gospel is nonsense. But to those who are believers, it is powerful as a weapon and as wisdom. You with me on that? We got it up there on the big board. You guys can take a look at that. So that's what I wanna just talk about that tonight. You have it on the big board, and I have about 10 copies if anyone wants a copy. But you have it on the board so that I only asked Real to make a few copies of that. But okay, so let's look at, and some hands up in the back. Rat, thanks, Rat, for doing that for me. So 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right? Let me work this being saved part. Being saved, not that we are saved, we're being saved. The completion of our salvation comes when our bodies are finally redeemed. Or what some others might say, finally glorified. Okay? And so we're being saved until that point, because when our bodies are redeemed, or glorified, if you will, what happens is not only do we receive a new body like Christ that we see in the Word of God in his post-resurrection appearances. He tells Mary, touch me not, right? This is this different body than what you used to hold and feed and touch before. After that, I got a different body. And he needs to go present it before the Father so that he gets the stamp of approval. But also tied to this new body is that it will be the first time that we have a body that is not contaminated or prone to sin. You with me on that? We got to understand right now, though our spirit has been recreated, and we are what? A new creation in Christ, in our spirit. But our body is still shaped, formed, and contaminated by sin. Do you follow? We is what theologians call fallen humanness. Left to our own devices, we'll always default to sin. That's the result of human depravity. That's the result of Adam's sin. That left to our own devices, on a bright, sunny day, we're going to veer towards evil. It's in us. It's built into us. Built in into our DNA, our pro. It's just, right? Because he says, what? All that sin. And come short. And this is, so it's important for a couple of reasons. One, we need to know that as believers, because it helps us to understand why we always fight with temptation. We always fight with temptation because that's what your body knows. That's what your mind remembers. And so it's constantly trying to go back to that way. You follow what I'm saying? So as believers, we always have to pray. Again, I didn't say sinners left to their own devices. I said any human being left alone is going to drift towards sin. You follow what I'm saying? Whether they're a believer or whether they are unbeliever. Their tendency is going to just... And so as believers who are in the process of being saved, meaning we're waiting for that glorious day when we'll finally put on... here he says in the Corinthian letter where mortality finally puts on immortality. You follow what I'm saying? And corruptibility finally puts on incorruptibility, that corruptibility, that's that sin nature he's talking about. But until then, we're going to fight all the way till the end. It's going to be a struggle. Why? Because we're not saved. We're being saved. And what happens, the more we pray, the more we feed on the Word of God, we are retraining, reprogramming our mind, our bodies, to now veer more towards godliness. You follow what I'm saying? But without Christian discipline, left to our own devices, we're going to veer towards evil. Just the way it goes. Right? And so your Bible says what? Be transformed. Start reprogramming your mind. Right? And the Bible writer says you do it by this. Think on these things. Isn't that what he said? Think on these. Because if not, if you just leave your mind to do what it wants to do, this is what you're going to do. You're going to always veer to the left. It's just the way it goes. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to veer to the left. But we stay engaged in the process of constantly being what? Built up. Right? So the Bible says, so that we can start conforming more to His image. Are you with me in this? Why? Because we're in the process of being saved. Now, if you can understand that, then you can also understand why to the sinner, to the person that rejects the gospel, you follow what I'm saying? And now relies on their own wisdom. Not only are they going to veer to the left, they're going to veer to the left quicker because there's nothing to abate them. No word of God. No kind of prayer life. You follow what I'm saying? This is what Dr. Teller used to say. The broad road is what? Crowded. It's crowded because there's no stopping. You can just get on and go as fast as you want to go. There's nothing to abate you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Never realizing they're perishing more and more day by day. You follow what I'm saying? And what happens when you share the Word of God, whether you share it from up here in a pulpit, whether you share it on a bus stop, whether you share it in the cafeteria, no matter when you share the Word of God, you literally cause a person to go in either direction. Because their response to the Word of God is the catalyst. So when you share the Word of God to someone who is being saved, right, we get the process, right? He says what? Some what? Water. What? Some plant. But it's always God who gets the increase. It is always God who ultimately pulls them into eternal life. But He uses our witness, our testimony, our sharing of the gospel to what? Move them in that direction. Do you follow what I'm saying? So when you share the Word of God, when you live and allow the light of the Word of God to shine out of you, this is what you're doing. Either they're going to respond to it. You follow what I'm saying? And their response, let's always remember this, is not an act of their will. Their response is an act of God's will. Right? Because Christ tells us what? You have not chosen me. It wasn't your choice to get saved. It wasn't your choice to go to church. No, no. By his sovereign will, the book said he gives every man a what? A measure of faith. He gives you just enough faith so that when you hear the gospel, you respond positive. And now he begins to what? Draw you. He begins to draw you what? Unto himself. Right? Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father. You follow what I'm saying? But my me. No one can come to God save what? God what? Draw him. And God draws those he has predestined, pre-selected, you follow what I'm saying, for salvation. He draws them by sending those who are being saved to share the gospel. And every time you hear the gospel, it is God drawing you nearer to himself. That's why he said, draw nigh unto me. And guess what? I'll draw nigh unto you. Do you follow what I'm saying? But it happens when the word of God is conveyed. Are you with me in this? And this is the weight and the magnitude of our witnessing. You're either pushing him towards Christ, or the word of God is going to push them away from Christ. Are you with me in this? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. If you've been with me, you heard me say this 1,000 times. When it comes to witnessing, you never what? You never force it. It's here. Never force it. Never get in an argument about your God. Because that's not how you approach God. Because you get in an argument about God, now it's about wisdom concerning God. Who knows more? No, no, no. The only way you approach God is by how? By faith. It's the only way you can approach him. There's no other way to get near God is but by faith. And so when you share that message, that's why you don't have to fight over it. And they were trying to tell me, and so I said, no, you're wrong. You're wrong and they were, because you don't have to fight for God, right? He tells them what the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? I just need someone to share the simple message. That's it. And then leave it alone. Plant the seed. That's all you got to do. Sprinkle it out there. Let God determine what happens after that. You follow what I'm saying? You ain't got to go hard on somebody. You ain't got to kill them with the word of God. You just got to have the word of God so that when they inquire about your God, you know what to say. The Bible said he would give you in the self same hour exactly what to say. But he can only cause you to say what he has already said into you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Everybody think it's hocus pocus. I just stand out there and he's going to put, no he's not. David said, thy word, O Lord, I've hidden it in the water, so that what? So when I get in trouble, I can go to my secret place and do what? Pull it all out. You follow? I hid it down there. I put it down low so that when the pressure increases on the outside, I have what? I have a word on the inside. Do you follow what I'm saying? But to those that are perishing, the word of God is foolishness. And that's why you don't fight to prove the word of God. You just give it to them. If they reject it or don't believe it or don't want to receive it, then they don't. Nothing lost. And the thing we always have to realize is we never know where someone is in the process. Right? We may be laying the seed now and seemingly to us they're rejecting it, only to find out that years later it's going to be that word that God used to plant the seed of salvation that now somewhere later in life someone else comes along and waters. And it now begins to blossom and bloom. Do you follow what I'm saying? So neither should we be discouraged if they don't come to church and get saved on Sunday. You follow what I'm saying? God just used me anywhere in the process, right? That's why I said our new thing. No, we're putting the phones away. We're going to take a minute of silence, and we're going to pray for someone that on our list that we want to be saved. And then we're also going to pray, God, use me somewhere in the process. God, I don't know where you'll use me in the process. Anywhere. If I can lay seed and plant. If I can be the one that come along later and water. If I can be one that come along later and encourage. Doesn't matter, Lord. Use me in this process of drawing them towards you and eternal life. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so he said, the message is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To know the Word of God. To be able to hear the Word of God. You study your Bible, you begin to realize hearing the Word of God is a blessing. The Bible says of Jesus, when he goes into Jerusalem, John 12, wherever it is, somewhere around there, he said after that, he never spoke anymore. He never went into the temple anymore. He never stood out on that anymore. There was a season where they could find Jesus wherever they wanted to. Wherever he was, they could come. After that, the Bible said he hid himself. He only spoke to his believers. Nobody else. Hid himself. When the light was shining, they rejected it. You follow what I'm saying? When they could hear, when they could receive, they rejected it. God said, if you don't want it, I'm no longer going on. And he hid himself. Jesus, the light of the world, covered himself. He covered his light so that they couldn't see. He nullified their ears so that what? They couldn't hear. And they go further and further towards what? Perishing. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so we have this message across foolishness. But to us who are being saved, and I love how he words that, we're not saved yet. We got to understand, we're not saved. The process hasn't completed yet. You ever do those updates on your computer? It's like 15%, 28%. There you go. You just got to sit there and wait. You can't lie. And it's always updating when you're in a hurry to do something. When you ain't got nothing to do, it just pop right up. Go ahead in your email. But oh, I got to get this out. Oh, it's updating. Taking all day. You know, but we're being saved. Little by little. Every word you get. Every devotion you take. Every time you're in the fellowship. Every Bible study. Every Sunday. It's building you. And causing you, me, I, us, to go closer towards eternal life. And it's the power of God's time. For I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. You follow what I'm saying? Through the world's wisdom, they do not, nor can they, know God. They can talk about God. They can write about God. They can sing songs about God, but they don't know Him. When they try to approach God through their own wisdom, through the world's wisdom. All right? Are you with me in this? Through satanic wisdom. Alright? It's not the wisdom of God, it's the wisdom of Satan. You follow what I'm saying? They couldn't know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. A foolish message. Believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is that all? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to say. That's all you got to say. And to you it becomes wisdom. It becomes wisdom now because the Bible says, the entrance of thy word, O Lord, giveth light. Because by that simple acceptance of Christ, now my eyes, every time you see a blind person healed in the Bible, it is nothing more than an image of what happens to every man that is in the darkness of sin when they accept Christ. That blind guy said, all I can tell you is one thing. I once was blind. You don't understand. That guy's preaching. He's preaching. If that joker don't say nothing else, he done preached the rest of his. He said, this is my test. I once was blind. But now I say, that's all I can tell you. It was a time, there was a period when I didn't know. I couldn't know. But then a man named Jesus came my way and touched me. And now I can see. That's your Bible. That's it. That's the story of Christ. That's the story of redemption. So every time you see that, that's all that image is trying to show you. That we were all once in darkness. Unable to see. Unable to determine. But into our darkness shone a great light. And I once was blind, but now I see. And I don't see the world the way the world sees the world. I now see the world the way God sees the world. I now see myself not in the way the world sees me. I now see myself the way God sees me. Why? Because I can see now. I once was blind, but now I can see. So it's thus the wisdom. So whether it's to the Jews, they want a sign. The Greek, everybody wants something else. Because all you have to do is believe in Jesus. No, it's got to be more than that. People want something impossible because they want to feel like they've earned salvation. The danger about earning salvation is to nullify what Christ did on the cross. Because then instead of you saying that Jesus saved me, you say what? I was a member of that church for 47 years. God owes me heaven. I've been a tither since I was 16. God owes me a crown. People think like that. You think I'm joking? I'm not telling you stuff I've heard. I'm telling you about stuff I know. This is the presumption. This is what blind people say. That they can earn their way into heaven. That Christ is not their Savior. They are their own Savior. Do you follow what I'm saying? Jews want a sign. Greeks want more wisdom, more philosophy. Paul said, but all we preach is Christ crucified. Not just Christ. It's got to be crucified. For blood is required for the remission of sin. It's the blood offering. Do you not know that is all that he's trying to get us to understand with the Old Testament sacrificial offering system. That's all he was trying to get you to see. Blood's required. Just for you to realize that what we really need is not the blood of a lamb. What we really need is the blood of the lamb. Because of the condition I have, I've got an eternal condition. What nullifies the spotless lamb is that once he made me gave his blood, great, but next time I sin, what? Now I need a new lamb. Why? And I'm always tempted to sin, what? Because what? I'm in, what? Fallen flesh and left to my own devices. I'm going to go where? But I need a sacrifice that works once and for all. This is the grace of God here. That's why the old folks used to sing, what? Jesus paid it what? He paid it all. That's it. He paid it all. And as long as you're able to see, as long as you're able to hear, as long as you continue to be built up and move in the direction of eternal life, there waits for each and every one of us a new and redeemed body. A body in which we don't have to fight all the time. Do you not realize we're tempted to sin 24 hours a day? It never lets up. You can come out of your prayer closet and all of a sudden your mind then went left. I just got finished praying. I just got finished fasting. And here goes my mind. I just got finished consecrating myself and all of a sudden my kids just... And now I'm look where I'm going. Just that fast. Do you follow what I'm saying? Can you imagine what it would be like to never be tempted? Never to be drawn. The Bible said God doesn't tempt. God doesn't tempt any man. Neither can God be tempted. He said, but when we are tempted, we are drawn away by our own lust. God said, I'm not doing it. That's the result of your fallen humanity. You never have to teach a child to lie. He's pre-programmed to lie. He's pre-wired. He comes out lying. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Where did he learn that? He's pre-wired. He's wired to go to the left. And what we need now, we need the light of God. We need the wisdom of God. How can I rewire myself? How can I get reprogrammed so that I can think on these things? Paul constantly walk by faith and not by sight. He just took Hosea's teaching and just, he wrote it to every church he could. Read how many times Paul takes that. Every church he could get. The just shall live by faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. Constant reminder so that, hey, we know which way we can go. Here it is. Christ crucified, stumbling block, Greeks, foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. God's wisdom is on God's worst day, he's better than man's wisdom. he wants us to do. Just trust me. Trust the wisdom of God. Not just say it, but trust him to really be the Alpha and the Omega. If you ever really step back a moment to understand that, that means he's before the thing and he's after the thing. You follow what I'm saying? He saw it before it came. He already knows how it's going to end. The challenge we have is that we don't. We don't. We didn't see it coming. Had we saw it coming, we would have what? Prepared. But since we didn't know it was coming, we didn't do anything. Now that it's here, and we're fearful and fretful that it's going to take us out, it is only God who knows that, no, it's not going to take you out. Just like everything else, I'm going to bring you through it. You don't know that. The companion doesn't know that. The church don't even know it yet. But I'm going to bring you out. And all I need you to do is trust the wisdom of God. The only way we do that is by getting into his word. Why? Because our word pushes us closer to what? To him. So that now as I walk this path, everything that comes my way, God said what? I'm going to use it for your good. I'm going to use it to bring you closer to me. Closer to eternal life. Closer to the day and time when you get a new body. You guys with me on this? That's it, right? That's all there is. I got 5 minutes. Go to Ephesians 2 and 1. I'm finished what I wanted to say. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. Well, this is all the stuff we talked about. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. This is the important part. According to the prince of the power of the air. So anything that you do according to the world system, you always got to remember, the world system belongs to Satan. The earth belongs to God. Right? The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's. The fullness. But the systems that operate in the world, well, they're of the devil. He's the prince of the air. All that stuff that's going on, he wants you to buy into that. He wants you to tap into that. Right? That's worldly wisdom. You tap into that, he can keep you out of what? Godly wisdom. Prince, the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Meaning literally, Satan is feeding them. He's feeding them. And they're promoting it. That's how they're talking about it. They're telling them, they're getting on the news about it. You follow what I'm saying? This is what he's talking about. The spirit who now works in the sons of, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. There was a time we were all in the world system. We were born in just like the next guy. Right? But into our darkness came what? A great light. And then you read all of that. He puts us out. I'm finished. That's it. 9 o'clock. I'm stopping. But like it says, the mandate is always about souls. We always got to remember that. And we got to understand the weight of our words and the weight of our living. And that we are literally either pushing people towards Christ or pushing them to eternal damnation. By what we say, by how we live,